Let's Talk. I'm Dick Griffith. We're working through a series on spiritual gifts. And we're going to be talking this time about ministry or service, the gift of service. Some translations call it the gift of helps. You find those listed, all those spiritual gifts listed in Romans 12, 1 Corinthians 12, and Ephesians 4. If you put those lists together, you boil it down into about seven motivational gifts. Now, what's a motivational gift? Just as a reminder for those that maybe haven't heard some of the earlier ones, this is the point of view that you have, the way you understand the world around you, the way you look at it, the way you serve others in the world comes out of your spiritual gift. So if you're a believer, you have at least one. And some two or more, and sometimes one is dominant and one is more supportive. And then there's some spiritual gifts where you just need to learn some of the skills of another spiritual gift to help exercise it properly and with the right balance and with the right opportunity to serve the Lord. So ministry is the gift of service or helps, some translations call it. It comes from the same word that we use as deacon. And the deacons are those that do the work around the church. They're the worker bees who keep everything going. They tend to be naturally humble and are content to stay in the background. They don't put themselves forward. Some of the other gifts, when they're out of balance, tend to get out there in front and take over. But the deacons, they tend to do what they're asked to do, and they're careful and appropriate in doing it the very best they can. They take pride in that, justifiably so. They take great joy in quietly ministering to the needs of others. This is just a whole lot of fun for them. They don't need to be recognized. They may be the neighbor that comes and mows your grass. I have an individual in the community I live with, and he knows that I had a cardiac procedure yesterday, and I'm doing fine. Don't worry about me. But he came over and was willing to help clean some trash off of my property. And I had to humble myself enough to say, thank you, I appreciate you doing that. And I really do. The service-minded people are naturally concerned for the poor, the sick, and the needy. They see themselves as an agent of grace to those folks. Why, this person needs help, I can see that. They identify it quickly. They don't tend to say, well, it's their fault that they're poor. They didn't invest their money well, or they didn't keep a job. No, they look at, what can I do to help this person be successful? They have compassion. They enjoy working to free others to exercise their own gifting. They might be seen saying to the pastor, for example, let me do that. You have plenty to do. Let me take care of that for you. They identify opportunities to serve where other people may be overly extended. These are detailed people that sometimes they're perfectionistic, which can get them in trouble, but they get things done. They check that box off and they say, well, I've done what I was told. Now what's next? Give me something else. Some people call these box checkers, and I think that's a good title for some of them. They work hard, but sometimes feel neglected in that others may fail to recognize their work or thank them. They're looking for somebody to be grateful for what they're doing, but they aren't going to ask for it. So as you're looking around, those that are serving, thank them. Be grateful for that. The police folks that help us here at our church on Sunday, when you see them, when you walk by, say, I appreciate you being here. Thanks a lot. Those deacons that are out there helping, standing in the rain sometimes, thank them for what they do. So a good example of the ministry gift is Timothy. Timothy became a pastor of the Ephesian church. So let's look at 1 Corinthians 4, verse 17. Paul is saying to the Corinthians, that is why I sent you Timothy, my beloved and faithful child in the Lord, to remind you of my ways in Christ, as I teach them everywhere in every church. Paul felt comfortable wherever he was, and many times in prison, sending someone, you know, for example, Timothy, clear across the known world at that time, to bring a message to someone else. He knew it would be accomplished. The ministry people are service people, if you will, are very dependable. So let's look over at Philippians 2, and we'll start with 19. So Philippians 2, 19. I hope in the Lord, this is again Paul writing, I hope in the Lord to send Timothy to you soon. Here he is, got another job for Timothy. He's the guy that gets it done. So that I too may be cheered by news of you, for I have no one like him, wow, who will be genuinely concerned for your welfare. This is the service person. Genuinely concerned for your welfare. Doesn't just do things to say, look what I did. I took care of that family. I took care of this sick person. Their motivation is to be humble and just do it without praise, which is why they need to be thanked from time to time. For they all seek their own interests, but not those of Jesus Christ. But you know Timothy's proven worth, how as a son with a father he has served with me in the gospel. I hope, therefore, to send him just as soon as I see how it will go with me. And I trust in the Lord that shortly I myself will come also. Of course, Paul was restrained from coming because he was in chains in prison. But to do his work, he sent Timothy. That's the kind of person that has the spiritual gift of ministry. Now, these folks are generally concerned for others. They have proven worth, as the scripture just said about Timothy. They are identified by others. Others can say, boy, this is somebody that really is trustworthy. They tend to be humble. They're selfless. They do not pursue their own interests. And Paul, in this case, and in our day, we're comfortable giving them tasks to do because we know they will be accomplished. So, interestingly enough, out of this gift, the gift of ministry, Timothy became a preacher out of the service or helps gift. Any of these gifts can end up leading a group or in the pulpit or teaching, but sometimes they need to learn some skills from some of the other gifts to accomplish that. One of the dangers here, the negative characteristics, leaders in the church must be careful not to take advantage of them. Boy, this guy does a lot of stuff. Let's give him this. He did a great job. Let's give him that. Let's give him something. And pretty soon he's got so many tasks, he's overwhelmed, exhausted, and does not feel comfortable expressing that. We need people with insight, maybe a prophet, maybe an encourager, to be able to identify those folks and say, you know, We got you doing too much stuff. We need to back off a little bit on you. And we appreciate you. That's not failure. That's just an evidence of how hard you're working. So the ministry gift, the gift of service, that person can be overwhelmed. They tend to volunteer for everything. They can be burned out. Others can take advantage because they can't say no. Are you that kind of person? That this gift of ministry or service or helps may be your gift. Use it wisely. So, Father, I pray and thank you for loving each one of us. And for those that just can't say no, even though they're overwhelmed with jobs and tasks, help them to lovingly and assertively be able to say, thanks for asking me, but I just don't have the time right now to do that. I'd love to, but I've got these other three or four responsibilities and I'm overwhelmed. And help us also to be considerate and show mercy to that person that in a loving way has to say no sometimes to those tasks. We thank you for the insight you give and the wisdom you provide. In Jesus' name, amen.